Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hello, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here in another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, we have an exciting program for our listeners. And you know something? Most of our programs are kind of exciting. But I have a kind of an exciting announcement to share. You know, we had a wonderful lady in here as our engineer, worked with us for many years. But now we have a new engineer. We should allow our listeners to know that there's three people in the studio. Everyone knows that Giff and Dave are here. But we also have an engineer working with us. And now we have Jeremy Ross is also part of our team. Jeremy, say hello to our listeners. They don't know your voice yet with us.
Right. Of course, you push the mic over to me. It's just like, yeah, hey, go for it. Yeah. You probably know my voice more from announcing than you do anything else.
Right. Exactly. Now, all of a sudden, you know who our engineer is.
Yeah, he's a great announcer. I mean, Jeremy is on the radio all the time.
Doesn't he have a great voice? Yes. Crystal clear. That's what I like about his voice.
So he can be our engineer.
He is our engineer.
But
We're fortunate to have a young man of such a work ethic. He's a dedicated person, and we're happy to have him with us in this program.
I feel sorry sometimes for the guy who has to work the dials. They get bored with
us. Look at all that fancy equipment he has in front of him there. He has to watch our tone, our volume, all that stuff. It's not just a matter of being a timekeeper. He has a lot to do there.
Plus, he gets to listen to us. We yell at him pretty good.
He's a good gentleman, and he tolerates our words and thrown in his direction. Well, let's take a look at what we're going to try to dissect today. Jesus was a powerful man. He always celebrated where he was. The key thing there is he was celebrating. He wasn't just tolerated. Never stay where you are not valued. That was one of Jesus' leadership principles. Never stay where you have not been assigned treasure. You have a talent, you have a gift, and you need to share that. Guard well any talent God has given you. Know this, God has prepared those to receive you when you are at a place of your assignment. Jesus was unable to do any miracles in certain cities. The people doubted. Unbelief was like a cancer in the atmosphere. It stopped him from releasing the healing flow. He taught his disciples to disconnect from any place that did not see their worth. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out from that house or the city, shake off the dust of your feet. That's Matthew chapter 10, verse 14 reads that way. You also see that in Proverbs, too, if you want to find it other places. That's one of my wife's favorite verses. She likes the idea of shake the dust off of your feet if the sinners are not accepting you. She uses that line routinely. It is foolish to waste your entire life on those who do not celebrate you, that they don't move on. Jesus did. Jesus went where he was celebrated instead of where he was tolerated. This is one of his great leadership skills that Jesus demonstrated. What do you think, Dave? How can you prepare yourself to be ready to move on when your assignment is finished?
I wanted to tell you something. I'm in a pickle part of my life. Somebody said to me, you have to change your language for the world to hear you when you turn 40. Well, what kind of a language do they want me to turn to when I'm 80?
Yeah.
And I realize that's the truth. Nobody wants to hear somebody that's older if they don't know how to talk to them and to be a part of life. That's why pastors leave the church. They don't get a youth pastor to help them to teach the young people. And so they lose the young people, and now all of a sudden they realize that their language is different from what the world wants to hear. And so they go and get another job. What do we have, like 1,300 pastors every year leave the church because they have not learned how to educate themselves to the new modern youth language, which, you know, after 40, you don't think like youth anymore.
That's right.
Sometimes we always say, boy, the missionaries that went around the world and preached the gospel, those concepts are totally off these days. We are looking at the different ways to do missions. We are changing because the youth don't care about the missionary program. You ask the young people over at the churches, hey, let the Chinese be Chinese, and we're not going over there to tell them about Jesus. And the world is full of that, full of people who do not want to go because they don't have the right concept. They don't know how to talk about God anymore in the language that people want to understand. Am I off or am I?
No, I think your words are correct. Now, but don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great youth out there that have the mission spirit in them.
We have a good youth department.
Yeah, I know. All too often, though, you'll find that your words are correct. It's a little bit of apathy there. They have trouble taking care of their own backyard. How are they going to take care of people in another country? And that kind of an attitude is kind of spreading, so you are correct. They need to turn to their Heavenly Father to try to find the answers to all those kinds of issues. Jesus constantly consulted his Father. In fact, he said, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitudes of counselors, there is safety. That's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, reads that way. Learn to reach. A famous billionaire of our day was trained by his Father. In one of his recent books, he said that he called his Father a dozen times a week. He also telephoned his own office 10 to 12 times a day. He said, if I don't constantly stay in touch with my business, it's gone. Stay in touch with your supervisor, stay in touch with your boss, or anyone who supervises you or mentors you or is guiding you into something that you want to accomplish. Stay in touch regularly. You see, Jesus was brilliant. He was a miracle worker. He constantly consulted his Heavenly Father. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things he soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. John chapter 5, verse 19 reads that way. You see, Jesus was open to his Heavenly Father about his feelings. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will do, but as thou wilt do. Matthew 26, verse 39. You see, Jesus was persistent and pursuing his Father. Here's another verse for you. He went away again the second time and prayed. Matthew 26, verse 42. You see, when Jesus felt alone, he went to his Father. He lived in our world. He felt the feelings you feel. He is our elder brother, and he was not too proud to reach for his Father. Know the power of connection. Create contact. No, it is the first step towards increase. Somebody is a link to your future success. Tomorrow hinges on your ability to pursue them. Do it. Jesus reached out to other people.
Well, we begin to realize that people need to hear the language from us that concern them. Sometimes we have a concept, you know, in our staff meetings at our church. It's amazing to go there because we're trying to teach ourselves the culture of the day. If we think that most of the world is eagerly looking for our Christian message, we're kidding ourselves. The world is not eager to hear what we have to say.
That's right.
But talk about anything else. but don't talk to me about Jesus. We have to be a witness in all of our talk and our truth. And it's more than just witnessing. We have to do. We have to be. We have to care. We have to love. And sometimes we don't do that in our churches. We just we go there, we listen to the message, and we walk out. We did our duty for the week. See you later. See you next week, maybe, unless something comes up, you know. If we think that the church will be accepted without question in the world, we're kidding ourselves.
Yeah.
We are going to be questioned. We've got to learn the interpretation of how to talk to people and what to say and how to do. And we think that our responsibility ends when we tell them once or twice or three times. And if they don't listen, bad on them, you know?
Yeah.
What a concept of religious people. We cannot have that kind of concept. We don't have that at WPFG. We're here every day just pouring it into your house. It comes through your radio. If you turn it on, turn it up, you'll hear it. It'll come at you over and over and over again. The Lord, He is good, and He is waiting for us to respond to Him.
Very good. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate you saying that. You are right on the money. We all need to depend on the Lord. We have to go to Him in prayer and ask for His guidance, for His wisdom. You are so correct. Prayer works. Your words are quite accurate. You know, Satan dreads the fact that we pray to God. He will attempt to sabotage us any way he can. Don't let him do it. Make a daily appointment with God. You make appointments with your dentist. Hey, you make appointments with your lawyer. Or you schedule a specific moment here and there. How about scheduling time with God every day? You will never be the same. Jesus prayed during crisis time. Just before his crucifixion, he prayed three different times to his Father. Look it up, Matthew chapter 26, it's there. He taught his disciples how to pray. There are six important words to remember as you read the Lord's Prayer. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. I have to admit, the years are catching up. I knew that the Lord's Prayer was in Matthew chapter 6, but I couldn't remember the verses. I had to look it up, Dave. I guess I'm not as old as I am. I'm going to be, but I'm not as young as I used to be either. I used to watch a TV show called Jeopardy. I don't know if it's still on the air or not.
Oh, once in a while.
Remember that show?
Yeah.
I used to watch that faithfully because I would always try to beat the contestants. You know, you had to give the answer, and they gave you the question. You had to come up with the answer. Or the other way around. They gave you the answer. You had to come up with the question. And I was always pleased whenever I could beat the contestants. Sometimes I looked like a genius, and sometimes I didn't look so smart. But I quit watching it whenever the contestants were faster than me. In the old age, you slow down a little bit, so I don't watch it.
I don't even like that program now. I'm glad it's not on there all the time.
I'm the same way. I don't even know if it's on the air, but you say it is, but I know I don't watch it any longer. I can't beat the contestants, and I hate to admit that I come in second. Well, let's get back to the Lord's Prayer. The first thing we look at is the word praise. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. That is an important place to remember that God assigned himself numerous names. Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord provideth, or Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord that heals. These are important things to remember. Priorities. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Well, that's also in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, of course. This is where you ask the Lord to implement his plan for each day. Ask for his will to be done in government. Ask for his will to be done on your job. Ask for his will to be done in your home, in your personal life, everywhere. Ask for his will. Number three, the word provision pops up, doesn't it? Give us this day our daily bread. That's verse 11. When you pray, begin to thank God that he is providing all of your finances and your other resources that you need for your life. What's the fourth thing we look for? It's pardon. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or will you say sins today in our modern church? And forgive us our sins as we forgive our sinners.
That's all. That's verse 12. Jesus instructs his disciples to release forgiveness and to pardon those who have sinned against them. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. So mercy is given freely to those who give it freely. So that's important for you to remember that. Pardon and forgive others. What's the next word? Protection. That's what we think of in the next verse. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's chapter 6, verse 13. Jesus taught his disciples to pray for total protection throughout the day. Isn't that what we all want? Safety and protection. The next area is praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. You know, Jesus taught them to end this prayer time again with the praise to their Heavenly Father for who he is and the power he releases in their lives. So keep a prayer list. Set a special time each day. Have a special place if that's possible. And don't forget the prayer of agreement. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 reads that way. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed, so should we also pray.
Would you let me pray?
Go ahead.
I think it's good in our broadcast.
I think so.
In a while,
yes.
We do what we've been telling others to do.
Yeah.
Hey, pray, pray, pray. So
let's do it.
Let's do it today. Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us how to pray. I know that when we become a part of you and we live in your presence, you will reveal your plans and your desires to all of us. Remind us that prayer works and always will. Give us the intelligence and the humility to help others. Give us a humble life that seeks after you every day. Please keep us from becoming so proud of ourselves and the way we live that we would be able to accept the humbleness of life and ask you again, Lord, to just teach us. And as we read again and again in Matthew chapter 6, that we would read how to pray. You would teach us those six big words that help us to become a prayer warrior. We want to do that today for our friends who are listening to us right now. Our prayer is in your behalf. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, David. That's quite a stirring prayer. I hope our listeners understand that Dave is very sincere when he wants the Lord to touch you and allow you to understand that he's right there with you if you just simply ask. Jesus did a lot of things like this that are leadership oriented, and some of our great speakers of the day try to use the Bible to steer their words of wisdom. Great orators that are telling us how to live better, and they give you individual development programs. They get their materials from the Bible. One of the things that they all advocate comes out of the Bible is early to bed and early to rise. Champions, you see, seize their day. Famous, successful men usually get up early. It's an early thing to do. Get out of bed early. They get an early start every day. You will be amazed at just how much you can accomplish when others are just beginning their day. Jesus rose early. Here's a verse for you out of Mark chapter 1. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into the solitary place and there prayed. That's, see, in biblical days, the day began at sunrise and then ended at sunset. So in this verse, in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, they're telling us that Jesus was an early riser. He was up before daylight, and he got started so that when everyone else got up, he was ready to go and work with them. I think that's very powerful. He consulted his Heavenly Father before he consulted anyone else. he pursued the influence of God very early. Joshua rose early. Remember reading that? And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Well, that's in Joshua chapter 6, verse 12. So he was an early riser. Moses, the great deliverer of the Israelites, rose early. It says that in Exodus chapter 8, verse 20. Abraham, the great patriarch of the Jewish nation, rose early. You can read that in Genesis chapter 19. You think more clearly in the morning. You can focus. Your day is uncluttered. As you accumulate emotions throughout the day and the stress throughout the day, the quality of your work usually deteriorates. Your lifestyle may be an exception to this rule. Many people work all night and use their daytime for sleeping. But for the most part, most of us have discovered that the greatest hour of our day are the early hours, when we are uncluttered with the demands of the others before us. And Jesus knew this. What do you think, Dave? What do you like best about the early morning hours of the day? And what happens to your day when you don't get started early?
Well, it's different when you're retired.
Yes.
When I was with the couriers and we had to go to church 300-400 miles away on Sunday morning, you had to get up 3, 4, 5 o'clock, and we were heading out of town, never pass a car until we get to the main highway. We did that for 40 years. And you get in the habit
That's a long
of getting
time.
Up.
Yep.
You know what I did when I got retired? I said, I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't care. And, man, I've changed my life. 9 o'clock is good for me. I can get out of bed at 9 o'clock really easy.
Yes.
And some days I still, you know, you have to be in church early on Sunday, so my weekends are up. It's amazing what you can do.
Yes.
When you finally clear your mind and you have the ability to just say, Lord, I'm yours for today.
Yes.
Judy and I never miss praying at night, but sometimes the morning prayers are more important because we still have to live that day. We've already lived it, and to thank him is easy. But to ask him to help us, that's where it is.
That's right.
And if you haven't prayed today, you don't have to get on your knees and close your eyes and open up your Bible and get in a... You can talk to the Lord driving
that's
your car.
That's right.
Sometimes the best time to pray is while you're driving, and it comes easy to ask God with nobody around. You can talk to God. You know, prayer time is different than when people are around and when you're by yourself.
Yes.
You ever
analyze
what you say when nobody's around and you're by yourself?
Sure.
Your prayer life changes.
It does. I agree.
You can say things that you wouldn't say in front of other people.
That's right.
And sometimes,
because you can ask the Lord from your bottom of your heart, quite sincerely, this is where I am short. Can you help me? And you don't want to say that in front of your friends or family. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You're being honest, Dave.
And, we need to master our time.
Yes. Yeah.
Whatever time you get up. People are going to bed at 8, 9 o'clock at night. Well, I never do that. I go to bed at midnight.
Yeah.
That's what it was with the couriers. I was always coming home at midnight.
Yeah. So you still do that.
2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to get home. Mm-hmm. So you have to live with what you live. My brother works night shift for 40 years.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And he still does. And he works in a freezer at the company. I mean, every night when he should be going to bed with his wife, he goes to work. And the next day he sleeps till noon. So what's the difference?
Yeah.
You know, you have to plan your day ahead.
Yeah.
And prayer works. That's what we're trying to say.
That's right.
No prayer
always
works. Pray,
yes.
You can always find an excuse not to. But when you find
the time,
that's right. You'll love it.
Yes. You know what I do, Dave? And tell me if you're a pastor, so you might know this. Years ago, when I was a younger man, I would allocate like maybe 20 or 30 minutes every evening to prayer time. And as I've gotten older, I decided that was not the right way to pray. So instead of praying for 20 straight minutes once a day, I pray 20 times a day for 1 minute. Because whenever I feel the urge, for whatever reason, I ask the Lord for guidance and for wisdom. And I avoid the 20-minute alone time prayer. Is that okay?
Oh, boy, that's That's a good way to pray.
Okay, thanks.
That's a good way to pray. Nothing wrong with long prayers, but if you can pray all day long.
Yes.
And when you get somebody in your family that's really having trouble, somebody's in sickness, somebody's in hospital, every time you think about it, you can just whisper a prayer, Lord. You know, you got to pray for your family.
That's right. That's what I do.
My wife's been sickly for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you, she's always asking me, sweetheart, would you pray for me?
Yeah.
There's nothing more tender in the world than your wife asking you to pray for her.
I agree with you.
Are we running out of time?
Yes, we have. We've exhausted ourselves again. Yes.
I see.
The engineer's flagging us down and saying, hey, you guys, put a cork in it. I know. Well, Dave, we have to say goodbye, but I hope our listeners were able to glean something from our words today. We do our best to be your encourager, to help you through life's difficulties. That's our goal and our ambition. But we turn to the Lord in prayer whenever we need it, and we're encouraging you to do the same likewise. Gift Briner saying, so long for now.
Dave Colonin, I'm happy to be here. This is a blessing for me every time I come into your home, your car. Have a great one. See you next time. Bye-bye.